Well, welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. My name again is Jeffrey Davis. I'm the host, and this is Radio Entrepreneurs. This is our new normal, preparing companies and entrepreneurs for the new reality and immediately reporting on what companies are doing and need to do to prepare to exist in this new economy where there are still more companies working, more employees working. Hopefully, we're paying our taxes still and keeping this whole thing going so that we can remain competitive as a country. And as I always tell people, it's more important today to pull together than pull apart. And last week, we spoke with Marsha Wagner, founding partner and owner of the Wagner Law Group, probably the foremost ERISA and pension expert in the country. Marsha, great to have you back. But this is a reflection point for all of us and a time to look at our, as you said, our commitments. I know you're quite worked up about what's going on. Fill us in, please.
Well, first and foremost, let me say hello to everyone and thank you for inviting me to be on your program. And thank everyone for listening in and tuning in to this, I think, somewhat important topic. And it's not just that I've dedicated 34 years of my life to the pension, welfare benefit, and executive compensation industry. It is, as you stated, an inflection point. There's an old statement, an old saying, an old proverb, that which cannot go on will not. And we as a society have been making, particularly but not exclusively, defined benefit pension plan promises and not adequately funding them and not adequately investing, not having reasonable fees, which decreases rates of return. And these chickens are coming home to roost now. This pandemic is just bringing forth the crisis that I think was going to be happening in any event within a several year period and bringing it forth now. So what then is the crisis? The crisis is and has been a slow moving tsunami of underfunded pension plans in the multi-employer union arena, the states and instrumentalities, and in some of the private sector as well. The problem now is how do states and unions continue to make payment under the defined benefit pension plans when revenues from whatever sources have been cut in a significant way. And investment performance has also not been stellar in the recent couple of months, as you are all aware. So it's a witch's brew of problems. Moreover, you add to that the fact that baby boomers are close to and nearing retirement, and you will see that it is more likely than not that there's going to be real stress on the system. People may not get paid what they thought they were going to be paid and what they've been working for their entire professional lives. And also people in pay status may in fact have pensions cut if there aren't significant substantive, systemic, and systematic changes.
Wow, you just said a real mouthful. Do you have any sense of what we can be doing to sort of help prevent that tsunami?
Private employers now have got to look at what they have for their pensions and understand their funding obligations fairly well. They can't rely just on actuaries. They should understand what's going on and ask intelligent questions if they don't have the ability to do so. They really do need to hire professionals such as an ERISA attorney, the Wagner Law Group, or others to assist. Private employers that are part of union plans should really understand what their withdrawal liability is, what portion of the underfunding they effectively own and are responsible for, and how they're going to put the money away for that if they can. The governmental plans. Some of them are very significantly underfunded. And the question is, can they utilize the federal bankruptcy code to restructure? And let's dig into what that means. There are many constitutional arguments that will state that a state cannot utilize federal law to renegotiate contracts. It would be undergo, and a pension plan is nothing more than a super or supra contract. But even assuming for the sake of argument that states or municipalities or instrumentalities, this is all very, very complicated. So just assume for the sake of argument that they can go bankrupt and restructure debt. What does that mean? That means that some of the biggest obligations are to pension funds, and there could be a real cram down and a decrease in promised benefits. What will that mean societally? Could there be, or should there be, a bailout from the federal government for pension and welfare benefit, i.e. retiring medical obligations? Mitch McConnell quite clearly said yesterday that he and others have absolutely no intention of doing so. Well, then states have to start, in municipalities and cities and states, et cetera, have to seriously consider, if there isn't a bailout, what are they going to be doing? And I truly think they should speak to council, not least of which for the rationale that many states have embedded in their constitutions, the fact that accrued benefits become a vested right and they cannot constitutionally be cut back. Well, if the benefit can't be cut back and there's no money, then you've got two moving objects going in opposite directions and they're going to crash at some point. So what does that crash entail? And how is it best mitigated? How is it ameliorated? Smart people who are knowledgeable about the system really need to start thinking about best case scenarios, worst case scenarios, and likely scenarios.
You know, I'm thinking that you're actually talking about preventative medicine. Get the attorney now, deal with it, protect yourself now, because afterward it's going to be an economic tsunami and there's going to be lawsuits all over the place. That's what I keep thinking of, the court system just getting backlogged with lawsuits for years on this. Is that correct?
Jeff, no. Yes, but that's a minor issue. So I analogize it to what we're dealing with COVID-19 right now is a minor issue compared to the destruction and the devastation we're going to be experiencing within 5 or 10 years if we don't figure out what's going on with climate change, be it man-made or nature-made or what have you. So lawsuits are just, they're a joke compared to the societal discord there could be if police and firefighters and teachers don't get their promised benefits. So yes, of course there will be lawsuits. Of course there will be death from COVID-19. Will we use this time right now we have where forces are telling us to wake up, to in fact wake up? If we don't wake up on both matters, we're in for much more pain and sooner than we realize. So let me give you some thoughts. I said people should think about a best case scenario. People should think about the worst case scenario. What I think would be a reasonable way to proceed is talk about a middle course. Let's talk about it. Perhaps pensions should be managed, all of them, large and small, pursuant to ERISA, which is a federal law that deals with private pension plans and to a certain degree, in certain instances, governmental plans. Maybe those standards and protocols should be equally applicable to all governmental plans. I know there are constitutional issues on this, but maybe the states can, in unison, adopt it, kind of like they've adopted the Uniform Commercial Code. Maybe there should be clawbacks of excessive compensation that could have been paid to various providers if reasonable protocols and prudence in fiduciary decisions were not implemented, utilized, or monitored, or followed through on. Maybe we're thinking small ball when the ball's really bigger. So the pension world has divided itself into effectively, and perhaps oversimplistically, two camps. The defined benefit pension camp, where people in general get an annuity for life and perhaps a portion of that annuity for their surviving spouse or beneficiary, or the defined contribution arena, whereby people will have an account balance and that's what they get. It's quite similar in the welfare benefit and executive compensation arenas, where there are certain benefits are promised either for life or a certain amounts, an account balance effectively, is set aside. Well, that's interesting. And it's simplistic. Perhaps there needs to be a middle ground, not a hybrid, like a target benefit plan or a cash balance plan, which is truly a defined contribution plan on one hand and a defined benefit plan on the other hand, but rather a cost sharing or risk sharing type of approach. So perhaps if trust rests, rest being the Latin word for balances or assets, decrease by a certain amount, say 20%, then benefits will be cut in a certain manner. Unpopular as it is, but maybe then there can be a make up or a make whole when assets come more into line with liabilities, and or if there are significant investment gains, there can be gain sharing. But I think we need to get almost beyond the concept of mere defined benefit and mere defined contribution. And sometimes societal tragedies, and we are in a tragedy right now, can lead people to think and to think outside the box. And this is what I'm trying to do and trying to help the industry forward. This is my obligation as an American citizen and as someone who loves this country. And I'm grateful this country let my ancestors in. Let me let people with knowledge and with no political agenda to help to be part of the solution before this truly unravels. And that is why I'm on your show today, Jeffrey. There has to be a solution. I've given a few right now. But if we do nothing, I assure you, there will be pain. And it will be shared disproportionately on people to whom benefits have been promised, but may not be able to be delivered.
Marcia, always you're always chilling in your insightfulness for me. You know, your warning of the other potential, you know, many people warned of the pandemic and no one listened. Your warning about the next tsunami. We appreciate you on Radio Entrepreneurs. We encourage you to come back as often as you want to keep our people informed, because we want to keep your voice alive on Radio Entrepreneurs. But if someone is listening and they want to reach out to you, how can they find you?
Please go onto our website, which is www.wagnerlawgroup.com, or you can email me at Marcia, M-A-R-C-I-A, at wagnerlawgroup.com.
Well, Marcia, you know I've never been shy with my voice, and I very much look up to you and respect you for your honesty and candidness. You've never been shy to be honest with people. And do me a favor, keep up the fight, Marcia. We look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you. Stay safe.
You too.
Be well. And let's all realize that we will get through this, but we will get through this the easy way or the hard way. The easy way is through intelligence, intellect, good faith, integrity, and fair dealing. Let's try to do it the easy way. We're good enough and we're big enough to do it the easy way. We owe it to ourselves and to our children who are watching us and to our elders who depend on us to do this the right way.
Okay. Thank you, Marcia. Again, we look forward to talking to you again. We know you're very busy. The next time you can carve out time out of your schedule, we're very eager to speak with you again. And remind everybody on Radio Entrepreneurs, if it's relevant to the new economy, we're going to try to air it here first on Radio Entrepreneurs. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in.